hands together for Brem and the team. How's everybody going? Good. To all the fathers out there, to all the men, happy Father's Day. And of course, it's a day that hopefully you guys were spoiled in the morning and you got gifts that you are not going to give to somebody else. gifts that you're actually going to keep. I can say that, look, I think it's always, well, when I was 5 years old, I was driving with my father along a road, and this was a place where men would stand by the side of the road in the industrial area, and then they would hope that somebody from within the industry would call out to them to say, I'm looking for 5 workers, and then the guys would run and get a job. And so it happened that it was at the intersection of a road. It was at a traffic light. It was a traffic stop. And so our vehicle stopped at the red light. And my father looked at me and he said, if you don't work hard at school, you're going to end up like one of them. And so when my father said this, this was 39 years ago when I was 5 years old. And to this day I remember. And at 5 years, you can't comprehend what it's like to be out there looking for work and sometimes how stressful it can be on somebody when they cannot get work. And especially as a male, where you want to obviously provide for your family. And when you cannot do that, just the heartache that you go through internally, because you want to be a provider, you want to be somebody that brings something along, and when you cannot do that, it's quite easy to feel less of a man. Is that not true, guys? You feel less of a man. And so my encouragement today is that when tough times come, what we have to do as men is to stand. And who knows that, you know, for all my men here, that it is not easy being a man because of the expectations that are placed upon us. Now, sometimes these are external expectations, and at other times, it's expectations we just put on ourselves. We want to be able to give, you know, our children food, shelter, clothing, and just to be able to provide for our wives and the whole family. And it just creates, then of course you've got extended family that wants your support as well. So that adds more and more expectations. And so this saying here by Vincent van Gogh, he says, the heart of man is very much like the sea. It has its storms, it has its tides, and in its depths, it has its pearls too. And so it's not just women that are deep, men can also be very deep. But what this saying tells us is just sometimes how we can all succumb to the ebbs and flows of life, just like the ocean. And this is what the heart of a man is like. I thought my father was a good man, but I also thought that he could be a weird man, an African man who's just set in his ways. All my father would talk about was education. Make sure that you educate yourself. There was never any discussion that did not center around somebody getting education. You always had to, you know, it's always important for you to get education. And as you grow older, as you start growing older as a man, you start to be very critical of your father. Why didn't this man do this? Or he could have done better. And so it's quite easy to become very critical about our fathers. But this saying by Charles Wadsworth that says, by the time a man realizes that maybe his father was right, he usually has a son who thinks he's wrong. And so all I'm saying to those that are going to have children is that it's easy to accuse our fathers of not doing stuff. But now when we get the opportunity to lead our children, we are going to be faced with the exact same problems that our fathers were faced with. it's quite an interesting dilemma that we go through, where it's quite easy to be critical of them, but then when you have a son, he's also very critical of you, that there's something wrong with you. Why haven't you been able to do this or that? I've learned a few things from my kids. You know, I've learned my son is 17. I guess maybe I get to see what I was like at that age. You know, they can be stubborn, hard to, you know, they retire to their room most of the time, and they don't talk a lot, and they can be prone to laziness. From my girls, I've learned, you know, how they are always all the time on the phone. Each time, whenever they have an opportunity, it's always and after a while you think, that does it have to happen all the time? You know, does it have to happen all the time? Because it happens every so often. Whenever there's an opportunity to pose, they're posing. But maybe if I can reflect back when I was growing up, we had mirrors. And so sometimes we would sort of like spend a long time just looking at the mirror. But now these kids have got phones and they're posting for everybody to see. But being a father, being a man, you don't necessarily have to be to have fathered somebody to be able to father someone. Even if you haven't fathered somebody, you still have got the innate ability to father something or to father someone, to look after somebody that's not even your own child. So it's just not reserved to only those that have birthed a child. We have an interesting story that we're going to go through, we're going through this morning, about a man named Jairus, and it comes from the book of Mark, chapter 5, verse 21 to 24. It says, Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake. Now, he had just come from healing the demon-possessed man, and so now he's going back to the other side, where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. My little daughter is dying, he said. Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live. Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. Verse 35 to 36 says, while he was still speaking to her. Now, this is Jesus. We have this story of Jairus has come to the Lord, and then he says, okay, come to my house and heal my daughter. So they're on their way to Jairus' house. It then so happened that there was a lady that was also dealing with an illness. She had been sick for 12 years. Jairus' daughter was 12 years old. She was sick at 12. This lady had an ailment that had followed her for the last 12 years. And so all of a sudden, with the whole crowd crushing in around Jesus, this woman touched the hem of his garment, and she was made well. And so Jesus was then talking to her to say, who touched me? And so she confessed that it was I who touched you. Then that's why it says, while he was still speaking to her. So the messengers came from Jairus' house, and they said, look, your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now. But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just have faith. This man, Jairus, was motivated by love, the love of his child. Now, I'm certain that this was his only child that he had. And I don't know about you, but as a father, if I only had one child, maybe if I had, because I got four, but if with one child, that's all that you have. And so you will do what you can to make sure that that child gets the healing that they require. And so he did everything within his power. When he recognized that his daughter was sick, he didn't just throw up his hands in the air and do nothing. He went and he sought a higher power. So just like us for men, what we can learn by Jairus is that we are motivated. We do everything within our power So we do what we can, but it might mean that we then go and seek the Lord, to seek a higher power to intervene on our behalf. But what he also did was that he humbled himself, recognized that Jairus, because he was motivated by love, he humbled himself. Jairus was a ruler in the synagogue. And so this wasn't just a Mickey Mouse person. This was a seriously important man. But because his child was sick, he chose to put that aside and to humble himself, because the scriptures say that he came and he knelt at the feet of Jesus. Imagine doing that in public. Understand that the Pharisees, he was a part of a group of Pharisees, they always had fights with Jesus. They never got along with Jesus because the Lord would always say something against the Pharisees, something against their strict practices. He would heal people on the Sabbath, which really messed with their thinking. And so the Pharisees did not like the Lord. But you see, you have one of them who, because he cared and he was motivated by love of his daughter, he came and he humbled himself. Now, when we say, remember that it's not that it was on carpet. Jairus didn't come on carpet and then just say, oh, Lord, could you please heal my daughter? This was on the dirt that he did that. So we have to understand that because of that motivation to see his daughter brought back to life, he was willing to let go of the status of what it means to be a leader of the Pharisees or a ruler of the synagogue, but just to say, Lord, I need you to do something for me because my daughter's dying. And that's what as fathers we do. We sometimes look, and as men we look after other people. We might go without so that our family can have. That's what we learn by this man, because we are motivated by the love of our family that we are willing to do anything. Sometimes the problem for us men is because we are so motivated by making sure that we're looking after everybody else, we tend to forget about ourselves. And it's very important in this time and this age that we live in, when we're constantly hearing that men are taking their own lives. It's very important that we surround ourselves with a group of people that we can call upon when we are going through difficult times. That you have to, if you are dealing with things that are possibly out of your control and you can't speak to somebody and you feel that you need professional help, I'm here to say you can get professional help. Because how can you be there for your family if you're not there for yourself? You have to be at your best so that you can be at best for your family. Amen? Amen. So we need to encourage, and I encourage our men that if you need help, you need to go. Of course, you can speak to the brothers within our church, but if you need something deeper and something more stronger, then you might have to go and see a counselor. And there's no shame in that. Because, for example, if you are in the ocean and somebody throws you a raft, do you really care who threw you the raft? Because all you want is the buoy that saves you, that you hold on to. So getting yourself in a good position mentally and physically, it don't matter how it comes by. Yes, it can come, of course, through godly counsel within the church, but at the same time, God is the one who has provided these professionals to help us so that we can be at our best. And so, Jairus was a man of faith. And so, fathers and dads need to be like Jairus, to be men of faith that stand on the promises of God. He would have been around as a Pharisee. The Pharisees were opposed to a lot of the things that Jesus did. And so he would have experienced firsthand all the miracles that the Lord was doing. And now he needed to rely on what he saw the Lord do in other people's lives for it to happen in his own life. So men, we stand in faith, just like he did for our families, We need to be able to stand in faith on the promises of God. We need to search the scriptures of God and say, Lord, what are you saying to me and to my family? We need to be men that stand in faith, not by ourselves. Yes, we do it by standing on the word of God, but also the encouragement that we receive from our fellow brothers. Your daughter is dying. You want the Lord to move very fast. If you hear, if your daughter is dying, how, do you want Jesus to walk like this or like this? Really quickly, you want him to be rushing to your house. But I think that day, the Lord was really taking his time. Now, it didn't help that there was a crowd that was around him, and that was slowing his progress down. It also didn't help that there was some lady who was very sick who touched the hem of the Lord's garment and slowed him even down even more. Now, I don't know about you. If my daughter is dying and there's a lady that requires healing and is slowing the Lord down, I'm not going to be very happy at that lady. I'm going to be very ticked off because my motivation is for my child to be saved. Now, that's not wrong. That's not wrong. And then he gets the news. He gets the news that your daughter is dead. And how devastating would that have been to hear that? And if he was really ticked off at that lady, now he's doubly ticked. Had you not intervened, we could have got to the Lord that much faster. And so what we do when we're faced with obstacles, we push through. What we do when we're faced with obstacles, we push through and we borrow strength. Now, to borrow strength means that you don't have any strength of your own because you've come to the end of, you know, your line. You don't know what to do now. And so you borrow strength. Just Jairus borrowed strength from Jesus because the Lord said to him, don't be afraid, just have faith. And so all of a sudden, he now relied on what the Lord said, so he borrowed the strength from the Lord. This is why it's important to be part of a connect group. Because those that are, if you're in isolation, if you walk by yourself, who are you going to turn to when trouble comes? Of course, you can turn to yourself, but if four guys come up against you and you're by yourself, unless, of course, you've got a black belt in jiu-jitsu or something like that, on most occasions, and even if you do, you're not going to take four guys down by yourself. So we need each other. So you borrow strength from other men that encourage you, that build you up and lift you up. If, for example, we have Mr. Donovan here and Janine, they're Manchester United supporters. If they hear that Marcus Rashford on their team is not playing, Mr. Donovan is going to have a migraine because he knows that, oh my goodness, the team is going to lose without Rashford. But then a few hours later, he hears that, no, Rashford is now playing. The migraine goes, and he's greatly encouraged because he thinks the best player on our team is now available, so we are more likely to win. This is what happens when you borrow strength from somebody. You yourself don't have the strength, but somebody else does. And so they give you the word of encouragement that's going to lift you up. Amen? And most importantly, we stand for our faith. We stand for our families. And we stand for our community. This is the word of the Lord to us, men of C3 Kwinana, is that we stand for what we believe. We stand and we fight for our families, and we fight for our community. This means that we are not afraid to go against the grain and are willing to stand up for what we believe. Understand that Jairus was a Pharisee, but he was willing to stand up against the other Pharisees, even at the expense of him being kicked out, even if at the expense of him losing something. Now, of course, this just doesn't apply to men. This applies to all of us. Are we going to stand for our faith? Are we going to stand for what we believe? And what I liked about Jairus is that he understood the Jewish practices and the traditions. But he was willing to go against what he has known and move towards something superior, even though it might cost him something. So leave the old ways, leaving the old ways of thinking, you're going to need faith just like he did to go against what the Pharisees, because if you read in John chapter 7, verse 47, John 7, 47 to 52, remember Nicodemus? He's a Pharisee that came to Jesus at night. And so the reason perhaps he was a bit scared, so he came to Jesus at nighttime. There is a time when there was a lot of division and unbelief, and Nicodemus was defending Jesus, and the Pharisees turned around when they're starting to accuse him of, you know, are you like a Galilee as well? And so sometimes we have to go against the popular belief and the status quo, what everybody else thinks. We need to be able to stand for what we believe. And especially when we are faced with new belief, new ideas, which Jesus was, and leave aside everything that he had known. And I'll just get all the men to stand. This morning, we're just about to be finished with morning. I want to pray that all of us have wisdom like Solomon. Father, I just pray, Lord God, for the men in our church, that Lord, Father, that you would give them wisdom to be able to lead their family.